But under pressure continually, it's not lifted. Of course, it never does lift. Looks like it's just my life. But we've been under pressure continually. And it's been, well, yesterday morning, I guess we was up around about 5 o'clock. And numbers of mornings we were up early and sometime before daybreak. I believe the day before yesterday we was up way before daybreak, ready to go. And it took continually a full day, just meeting different ones and conversing and trying to get the proper papers. You know, it's really something. At this point, they are deporting. We spoke about all the lights going out except the light of the revelation of the Son of God. And strangely enough, at this time, they're deporting evangelists and different people that are in there for religious purposes. As a matter of fact, the papers carried it. It showed the brochures, published the whole brochure in the newspaper, and gave the people's names and their purposes and whatever. And they're putting them out of Mexico. While yet at the same time, God is allowing us to go through the diplomacy side of things and to move according to the way that Daniel and the Hebrew children did down in Babylon when they became governors and leaders. And while the others are being deported, we're being escorted. And Brother Garcia said, Brother Pike said, this thing is so shaking to the different ones. Said, if you continue to do what you're doing, said, they're going to have securities out here with you like they do the dignitaries of Mexico. Said, they're going to have them out here. Said, you just wait and see. And said, they'll be with you wherever you go to watch after you to keep anything from hurting you. But we had to come on back. We had things on this end that had to be taken care of, and we're glad to be back. And I'd like to say that we're glad to have Brother Dahl and Chris home. Just before we left, we'd made arrangements for them to come, and things didn't level off just right. I gave them my word they could come on, and they were trying to stay in the area a little longer and also do some paint work on a barge there to help pay some rent on the ship. But I see that they made it home all right. I talked to Chris a little bit when I came in, and I asked about Dahl, and I see that he's here this morning. Chris and Dahl has been, when it comes to the ship, I tell you what, they have just been, I don't know how I could have got along without them. Been utterly amazing the way that they have took the patience and their time as young men to stay with the ship and to watch after it. They've stayed there, and they've been very diligent. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful because it was a real need. But I'm grateful that we've got some that are willing as these fellas to stay. And Chris told me last night, said, Brother Pike, said, we're ready to go back right now. Said, we're ready to go back to the ship. Said, we've only been here about a week and a half, but said, we're ready to go back now. If he needed to go back, he told me if I needed him, he was ready to go. And that is so wonderful. Some of them on this end, they let us down while we were gone. I don't know whether they could help it or whether they couldn't help it. I really don't know. I was told that they could have helped it but just didn't help it. And I don't know. I give them the benefit of the doubt as to the fact that they wouldn't have let me down if they could have. But on the other end, so far as the Lord providing, He provided, and on this end, He provided. Oh, He provided on the other end. It took a lot of money. The Lord provided, and He took care of our people. And I feel like He'll take care of them coming back. I feel like everything will be all right. I don't know how you feel about Jesus. You know, people like to eat, drink, and buy and sell and get gain and be comfortable in this life. I don't know how you feel about Jesus, but I think He's wonderful. And He has always been so good to me. He's taken care of me. He's never let me down. Over in Africa right now, they're having some problems. Guess maybe I'll comment just a little more. And I told my wife that God had revealed to us that Mr. Reagan would become overconfident and that he would make the wrong move. And of course, when he went over into the areas where Gaddafi is, he said he was on maneuvers, which could have been, you know, my son-in-law Dale had been over there, and they'd been on maneuvers, and he'd been all through that area on the ships. And they had been doing maneuvers over there. That part was true. But according to what I understand, this was something different. Mr. Reagan was really upset at Gaddafi because Gaddafi had said some things about him and caused a lot of problems. And I think Mr. Gaddafi eventually called him an Israelian dog because he sided with Israel, and Mr. Gaddafi was upset with Israel. And especially to the extent, you know, when Mr. Reagan made the statement, as goes Israel, so goes America. Mr. Reagan went into that area, as you know, and there is, if you've ever seen the map, there is a little cove lot that Mr. Reagan did not have to go into, had no business in there whatsoever, and should have gone right straight on by the cove, but he didn't do that. He cut down into the cove. And he did it because Mr. Gaddafi had kind of drawn a line, you remember, and said, you can't come in here because this is our territory. Whereas Mr. Reagan did the right thing in going down into the cove to protect international waters and international rights. That was the right thing for him to do when you speak of war and you speak of our rights. If Mr. Gaddafi could have gotten away with that, then he could have put out a line a little farther and took international rights away from us. So Mr. Reagan done exactly the right thing if you want to look at it as far as war and international rights. But looking at it as for peace and the personal thing that was involved between Mr. Reagan and Mr. Gaddafi, it wasn't the right thing to do because he stirred Mr. Gaddafi up. It was an overconfident thing, like the Lord had showed me, and it got Mr. Gaddafi upset, and you know how he tried to defend what really wasn't his. And yet I can understand the Gaddafi side of it to the extent that he had guns along the shore there and along Tripoli and the other place there, he had his gun stationed, and it was bad for America to come in that close. So he had some reason as to what he did. But anyway, Mr. Reagan, he went in there and it caused problems, and he got away with it to this extent that the nations more or less accepted the fact that Mr. Gaddafi was a troublemaker for taking the rights of international waters, rights that he didn't have, and they felt like he was an aggressor. So they stood with Mr. Reagan's. And the first time Mr. Reagan threw the bombs over at another place when Israel was involved, right after he went in office, they stood with Mr. Reagan's because they took it that the others was the aggressor. But I told my wife, I said, they won't do it with this thing. That he's going to get overconfident and do these things. And I said, they won't feel that way about him. And so he did. I said, they're going to count him as the aggressor. I said, and they're going to reject him, and they're not going to stand with him at all. And even though it looked like I was wrong, it happened just exactly that way. And I said, Mr. Gaddafi, the one that, I said, to the appearance, it looks like he'll be the rejected. I said, they will accept him. I said, and the nations around will confederate with him. And I said, and the whole thing has to do with the image that Daniel saw and the coming in of the 10 toes, which is the end of the world. And we commented a little bit before we left of how that in that Mediterranean area, that's the place that the Bible speaks of, the place that the Bible speaks of where the beast comes up out of the waters. And the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation, Revelation 8, it tells of the trumpets and the turning to blood, how that the sea will be turned to blood and the third part of the ships will be destroyed, and how that the things that are in the sea will begin to die. Well, I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but in that area, if you look on the map, you'll find like Libya here, Egypt over here, and Italy over here, and Greece over here. That is to say, the only thing that you'll find between Libya, Egypt, and Italy and Greece is the Mediterranean waters. Well, believe it or not, you know, we made mention of how that Gaddafi said that he would turn the waters of the Mediterranean Sea into blood. And I don't know whether you've considered it or not, but in Revelation 18 and 10, I believe it is, you'll find that it says her desolation has come in 1 hour. It hasn't really been possible in past years until just not too far back that you could do away with a city or a country in 1 hour. But it said her desolation has come in 1 hour. Now, you consider this, that the papers stated that within 1 hour they could completely do away with Mr. Gaddafi and Libya. Said we can come together in a union, and in 1 hour there won't be any Libya. And you think about that, you might say, well, that don't mean too much to me. But I tell you what, think about it now. Libya over here, they said they can do away with it in 1 hour. We've come to that day when they can do away with it in 1 hour. Libya over here. And just across the sea, if the ships just turn around, if the planes just go in the other direction, there sets the great city that the Bible speaks of. Just turn around. And right on the other side of the sea sets the great city that Revelation 18 and 10 speaks of as her desolation coming in 1 hour. Now, I made the statement, I said, Mr. Gaddafi being upset, knowing that he cannot get to America right now, he'll strike at those little nations to find revenge. And believe it or not, they struck at the little island that belongs to the city, whereas the Bible said her desolation is coming 1 hour. That city with the little island right there at it, it belongs to that city. They took some torpedoes or something, I don't know what it was, and they shot a couple of them over at that place. It didn't do any damage. Somehow they missed it or something happened. I don't know what the details of it was. Immediately after that, the attack had come on Libya. So see, that's how close things came to fulfilling Revelation 18 and 10. I don't know how many children was killed in the Libyan raid. I believe they said about, somebody said about 100. I believe the paper stated was about 90-something. But there was a lot of children killed. And Mr. Gaddafi is really upset. He's really upset. I've got a clipping. I've got a newspaper page. I think Betty still got it. I told her to hold on to it. It tells of the different nations that are sympathizing with Mr. Gaddafi. And nations or countries like Austria and a number of the countries that we were planning to go into. This world trip that we had planning. A number of the nations that we wanted to go into, it probably won't be possible to go into them because of the rage of the people. Even in the lower parts of Mexico, in numbers, I don't know whether you read the paper or not, but numbers and numbers of nations, a great number of them, is siding with Mr. Gaddafi. And they're upset at Mr. Reagan. And they're calling Mr. Reagan the terrorist devil. You probably read it. They call him the terrorist devil, not Mr. Gaddafi. And the paper stated, death to Mr. Reagan. He is the facet. And And I also on this trip had a vision that I told my wife about before this publication. I said, I saw whatever it was, I don't know. I was either standing somewhere or kneeling somewhere. I don't know what happened. But I looked and I saw him throw Mr. Reagan into the garbage can. It looked like there was just a can of garbage, like you'd cut up cantaloupes, watermelon, or rinds, or whatever. Throw him into the garbage can, and Mr. Reagan looked like he'd been cut up or whatever. At any rate, he'd been thrown into the garbage can. And I said, Betty, the nations, like I told you, they're going to reject him. They're going to oust him and reject him. And, of course, they've done it. And I don't know whether you understand the seriousness of what we're doing or not. Like I told the people that went to Mexico with us, I know that they didn't. They're like babies, like children. But you just stop and think now. And I hope you don't mind me talking to you. I say that so often because I just, from time to time, do what Jesus would do if he was up here, you know, or what he did when he was with the people. Just stop and think. 1 hour, her desolation. We've come to that time. And Mr. Gaddafi, who is the most powerful man in the world at this time? Who is the most powerful man in the world? Mr. Gaddafi. Mr. Gaddafi, who was nothing. The Bible said an Antichrist will come up with a small people. And Mr. Gaddafi, who was a nobody, a small country, all of a sudden has gained world popularity. He's a man of renown, a man that's greatly admired. And as I told my wife, I said, Betty, this, I know this don't sound right. I said, but when they strike Mr. Gaddafi, they will have struck Russia. And I never knew that they even had any kind of connection. I've never seen anything, heard anything, or known anything at all about it. But they immediately started publishing things on TV and in the newspaper and radio. And on the TV, they had pictures in the news of the meetings of Mr. Gaddafi and the leaders of Russia, and how that they were praising one another, how that they were comrades with one another. And Russia made the statement that this isn't going to help the relations between America and Russia. That is the thing that's been done to Mr. Gaddafi. And they also counseled a meeting that one of the important men there had with one of our important men. They counseled it out. Russia counseled it out and would not have it. Whether they changed their mind or not, I don't know. But just think now, Mr. Gaddafi overnight has become the most powerful man in the world through sympathy and through the others relating to him. I told my wife, I said, Betty, it doesn't sound right. I said, but when they hit Libya, they hit Russia. I said, so Russia's going to be on Mr. Gaddafi's side. I said, not only that, but even though it has nothing to do with Egypt, I said, they're going to strike Egypt when they strike Libya, and the Arabs are going to throw in with them tight, which they did. The papers even published how that the people, the Arabian people, was admiring Mr. Gaddafi and how that they throwed in with him. And I said, and this really sounds way out. I said, but the people that are all crossed up that have no fellowship as to religious convictions, I said, they're going to come together and the Mohammedan people, the Muslims, are going to throw in with them too. And sure enough, the papers, the clippings or the page she's got, tells that the Muslim people come in with Mr. Gaddafi and favored Mr. Gaddafi and fastened themselves hard to the situation. And I said, and Syria will come in, whereas Syria was one of the first ones that said, we'll come in with you. And with this, I said, Mr. Gaddafi will suddenly recognize his strength. I mentioned this to some of the brethren. Even on this trip, I talked to some of them about it. And he will see all of the different nations that is sympathetic toward him, and they'll begin to unite as to strength against the great nation of the United States, because Russia will kind of back off for a little while. And they'll feel that they have to have this union to be able to withstand the greater nations. And in doing that, it will automatically bring the 10 toes of the image. Daniel saw the image with the head of gold in the days of Nebuchadnezzar in 735 and 975, during the time of the lost tribes in Syria and Judah into Babylon. And from that time, there's been an inferior kingdom, one right after another, as from gold to silver, brass. The kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar as a gold power, the chief metal of the earth that shows a supremacy over all the world. And then history shows it as it come on down to the Medo-Persians as to the silver, the Chaldean kingdom. It showed how it came on down to Alexander the Great, how the brass kingdom came in. And then it showed how that the iron kingdom came in, which was Rome. Rome is an iron kingdom. Their iron chariots show it, their iron spears, their gladiator wear. All of it shows that it's an iron kingdom. It come on down to the iron kingdom. And as it came on down to the iron kingdom, the next thing that came into view was clay. Clay. So it shows that a mixture of Roman Catholicism and communism will come front and center right here in the last days. And we spoke of how Rome would turn to communist support, and they did it. For the Bible said, and the beast carried the great whore. So then Rome coming together with communism shows the legs and the feet. And of course, communism and religious Rome will never mix. As the Bible said, you can't mix iron and clay. It just don't mix up together. You can get down and take a piece of iron and take clay and try to mud pie it together. It won't mix. So then coming down to the toes, in that the head was back many generations ago, coming down to the toes, it's over in the end time, so it's referred to as the feet, the end, the toes. And the Bible said in the days of these 10 kingdoms, which are the toes, which will be the confederation of those nations, Mr. Gaddafi and the others, in the days, this is the day when they can do away with a nation, or rather a great city like Rome, in 1 hour. In the days of the 10 toes, which we're looking at right now, the coming together, the confederation of the nations, in the days, these days that you and I are living in, the days that God said he would have to shorten for the elect's sake, unless he did, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. In the days of the 10 toes, he said it. Daniel said, I saw a little stone hewed out of the mountain. He said it wasn't hewed out with hands. It wasn't somebody that cut the stone out. He said this stone was hewed out without hands. And he said, and I watched this little stone, and it began to roll, and it rolled down through Babylon, through the world, and said it overturned and it overthrew everything. See, Revelation 10 and 7, in the days of the voice, Revelation 11, 15, and the voice sounded. And it said, and in that day, it tore up everything. It wrecked everything. And it kept growing and growing until it filled all the earth. Which goes back to what we said about the revelation of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the appearing of Christ. Everything else going out, all the lights going out. Nothing left but the day star, the morning star. We spoke of the heavens rolling back like a scroll. We ministered on it before we left from here. And we spoke of the allegoric part of it. All of those clothes put into our trailer here at Bethlehem, sent down into Mexico, and the number was 13, according to the bill of lading. Back to the woman, America, back concerning the bride. The clothing going down into Mexico, the veil was rent. This clothing leaving America, America is in a heavenly perspective, going down into Mexico, they wouldn't let us come across people with a load of Bibles. And those people, some of them were connected with Mexico and lived in Mexico. They wouldn't let them take the Bibles over. They stopped them. And they informed us that you will not go over. But the veil was rent. Through customs, through the diplomacy of Mexico, the dignitaries, the veil, the ecclesiastical veil was rent, and our truck with the scroll on it rolled back, as we say, the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Brother Bill York, having to do with the angel that appeared to us that we spoke of, his name as it is, going to Florida as we saw in the vision and said he would do, he did. And Brother Stone, Paul Stone, having to do with the rent veil, the rolling of the scroll, opening like a scroll, the Bible said, in the heavens the stone rolled away. Foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise, people that would not consider these things. And yet it went down, as we say, into the heart of the earth, on down into that area, and the message has reached as far as Del Fuego, the land of fire. Down to the equator, Betty and I went not too long ago, down into Central America, down into South America, into the islands. And by the way, we're drawing mail out of just about all of those islands, St. Lucia's, Guyana, and just so many of them, Barbados. But down it went, the message, down with the clothes, the truck that is, the message on the side, the open scroll, down to the souls in prison. And of course, some of these clothes are going to prisoners, some in correctional institutions, and some to prisoners. Down to those souls. And to be able to get to those souls, we had to go through the diplomacy of Mexico, that is, to these dignitaries that are in the upper places. And the heavens had to roll back, and we had to rend the veil by testifying to Christ and telling them of the love of God. And the veil was rent. The veil was rent. To the extent that contact was made with the people that are in their little paradise of monetary values and education, powers and authorities. The veil was rent. They said, you're going to have to work through us, Brother Pike. And I organize a way. That's the only way that we can help you. It's through our charitable institutions and whatever. Coming down. And the poor and the needy crying, how long, how long? Suffering, hungry, needing clothing. And the garments, as we say, was given. So they're there ready to be given out. Coming down. And I watched the revelation of the things that took place even while I was talking to Don one day right there in the Capitol. Many things that we may never get to say to you, the things that we speak of to and fro as we travel and to different individuals, many, many multiplied, hundreds of things. But it was so beautiful as to the allegoric side of it, of the foolish things that many people would never notice, that God so wonderfully revelates and brings out to our understanding. many other things that we could say that was concerning Israel, concerning Mexico, concerning the truck, the clothing, the people, and the things that took place. But I watched the allegoric part of it. I watched the revelation unfold. I was sitting there one morning and I said, you know, this has to do with the Valley of Dry Bones. It has to do with Israel and has to do with Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. And about that time, a Mr. Bones came up. Now I said, it's the Valley of Dry Bones. And about that time, a young boy walked up and across his shirt, it said the Valley. And they come over and sit down where we were. And then a number of things just in a stream took place. And a number of things that was said. And then following, the Lord gave some water in the Valley of Dry Bones. And things like this that we saw, that others saw, that I pointed out to others, just little things that would be unnoticed. No one would pay any attention to them unless God from heaven showed that it had to do with divine inspiration and the revealing of the divine knowledge of Almighty God. God revealing Himself in simplicity, in the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. While the others in their diplomacy side of life are seeking education and going after the tree of knowledge and ever learning and never knowing nothing, and the Bible said never coming to the knowledge of truth, professing themselves to be wise, and the Bible said they have become fools. Even as to the diplomacy of all of that that we had to go through just to get clothing and something to the poor. Foolishness. It's just unreal. People that are supposed to be so brilliant, having God's people in prison, the demon powers, the educational system, Satan's kingdom of diplomacy, having those people in bondage to where you can't even squeeze through with a garment to them. But anyway, the heavens was rent. And the dignitaries had to take a bow. And people got a look at those on the other side when the firmament rolled back as a scroll. And with a religious thing called the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And strangely enough, going to the capital, they have what they call Hero Island. Of course, that's where the theater is located that we spoke of. Hero Plaza, I beg your pardon, Hero Plaza. And this plaza, all around it has statues of heroes. A lot of things took place, allegorically speaking, at this particular place or concerning this place. And it is called Nuevo León, which means the new kingdom of the new lion. And they're changing their government to some degree at this time, severing some ties with Spain. Some of you that are familiar with history, you know how that Cortes came in on the little part of Mexico, and you remember how that Montezuma was in power and how that his kingdom was overthrown because he was offering human sacrifices. I'm sure you remember that. And but anyway, there was a tight relation with Spain in that at that time they brought in the Catholic religion, and the Catholic religion dominated that country. It hasn't been too long ago that a man rose up there in Mexico and severed the ties to make a separation between church and state. Whereas at this time, the bishop is demanding that they give them a place in politics to bring them back under the same constraint that they have escaped from. Now, I said all that just so it'd be on your mind if I ever mention some other things that has to do with this, or if I mention some things this morning to where you can tie them together. The Hero Plaza, the Nuevo León, the kingdom, bringing in a new order. It was really something because we went into this attorney general's office. Remember, all this is law. And we began through Christ to fold the law up and the ecclesiastical powers up and lay it away, even as Calvary, when the veil was rent and the law was folded up. and laid away. And we had to sign some papers, permits, and different things. And strangely enough, they made me sign my name, Leon, which I never do as a rule. But it was all around Nuevo Leon, the new kingdom. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, "Son, this has to do with the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of God and of His Christ." Leon means lion, and Leon spelt backwards means Noel, or it spells Noel. So then, this was the thing that was really outstanding that the Lord impressed me with, that at that particular time, all of the things that He was doing would not stop until it got to the presidency. And as I say, the wife came in, the governor's wife got together with him, and we're still looking forward to it getting into the presidency. They're shook up all over the different parts of Mexico because of what you that love the Lord, because of what you have done in praying and sacrificing and giving and helping us take those things into Mexico. Now, I'm just sharing just a little tad of the things that happened and why that we took the load of clothing into Mexico. To some of you, it won't mean anything because you're not spiritual. It'll just be a few words and it'll never mean anything. You'll never see anything. And because some of you are just babes, but you'll get a little milk of the Word out of it. Some of you will get 30%, some 60%, some will be able to see 100%. Others that are wicked, that don't love the Lord, the Bible said they shall not see when good cometh. They won't see a thing. It won't even make sense to them. But the Bible said, "Pray that God might grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that your eyes might be enlightened to the extent of comprehending the height, the depth, and the width of what God is doing." Because while God is speaking to me in all of these things, He is showing me step by step, and has for many years, everything He's doing. He said concerning Abraham, said, "Seeing that Abraham will command his household after me," said, "should I hold anything back from him? Should I keep anything back from him?" And he didn't. And God's been gracious to me. He's shown me step by step what He's doing. That's why I know that we're living in the days of the 10 toes. That's why I knew that Mr. Gaddafi, this was going to happen the way it was, and the many other things that we spoke of, is because of the revelation of the Son of God. Even down to the very minute of even the little things, as we say. And while this is taking place in Mexico, and many of the things that we could speak of concerning the bus, our people being down, while these things are taking place, the things are taking place as they are in the Mediterranean area. I know this sounds like a figment of imagination to some of you, and you probably can't put it together. But strangely enough, those that are in the places of dignitaries, and I've got great respect for dignitaries, great respect if they're true dignitaries. The thing that took place in the lofty place of dignitaries as to hinder us, to stop us from doing what we needed to do, running us from one place to another. The night before we left, the senator's son, on a Friday, committed suicide, about 32 years old. Brother Jerry and I went over to see the boy lying in state. Fine looking fella. And I heard the Lord speak to me, having to do with the death of the Lord Jesus. They said the boy had been very contrary, had done wrong, and just before his death he apologized. wrote letters to people of apology, and then killed himself. The twofold side of the Lord Jesus being made sin. And us going, we could say a lot about it, but I'm not going to take up the time to do that, because I want to get back to a thought or two on the ten toes. But going over, it was at a crossroad, and the funeral home was right on the corner. It was a beautiful thing. Heard the Lord speak to me like Calvary right at the crossroads. And the son, right about the same age of the death of the Lord Jesus. Don't know just exactly his age. Just said he was around 32, along in there somewhere. And his father being in the upper side of life. And of course, things that we said and done that had to do with this while we were there. In the streets, there were people. Everywhere, there were people. He was such a person of renown. There were hundreds and hundreds of people that lined the streets and outside, all around and inside of the funeral home. And I thought, on a Friday, this happened. You remember Jesus? On a Saturday, entered into the rest, going down. On a Sunday, here we are here, as to what it had to do with the resurrection, and the veil rent, the scroll rolled back, and coming out of heaven, the wonderful knowledge of the Son of God, and people praising this from the upper walk of life, and the clothing and the garments, as to the coming, given to the souls in prison, as we say. Given to them. As they say, how long? A little while more. And I thought it was real striking the way that God did it in his simplicity to show it to a simple person. And to a person such as myself that, as Moses one time said, not eloquent. I don't have the ability to know, to learn, or to understand, only through him. As Jesus said, doing always the things I see my Father do. That's all I can understand. Because I'm not smart, I'm not intelligent. I don't have personal abilities like many people have. But I've been dependent upon him altogether. But here, I saw it so beautifully, and many other things as to the flight and the catching up. And here we are this morning. And how that Brother Atlee was left back to drive the bus, and what he has to do with, and what it had to do with, and us being caught up, and the others being caught up. And I thought it was so striking that they should have to mourn because of the way that they had hindered the poor from getting relief, and because they caused the poor to mourn. Now I remember one man in particular. He was very arrogant, dressed in a beautiful white shirt, a gold chain around his neck, looked like he might have been in his early 30s, in a high place of government, very arrogant. Couldn't speak our language, but I could tell through the interpreters. They'd come against us, stopped us, wouldn't help us at all. And when I perceived what was going on in the spirit, I did exactly like I did with the chief custom. I said, Satan, I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to get out of here, to break your hold, to leave us alone. It doesn't matter what your authority is, we're going to do what God said. And believe it or not, this particular fellow, it wasn't long before the governor got into the arrangement. I found favor with the governor. And this particular fellow sent word that he'd be glad to help us in any way. I told him, I said, God will make him take a bow to us. I said, watch and see. And he had to take such a bow that even though this was a fabulous office, a fabulous place, a huge place, all of a sudden, they decide to close the whole thing down like is overnight. And over here, another huge, fabulous place of buildings and warehouses and whatever, where they had favored us, they decided to move all of this authority over there and just put him slap out. And all of the authorities there has to attend us. So God really pushed things out of the way. It was fantastic, folks, the way he did. But I said all that to let you know the importance of what we're doing and what you're doing, because this shed light on the events in the Mediterranean area. Mr. Gaddafi now knows that the nations are coming together with him. This makes him feel his strength. And as he begins to pull them in, as he begins to confederate, as he begins to unite, then those 10 kingdoms that the book of Revelation speaks of will come together. The Bible said, and these kings have had no kingdom as of yet, but will receive a kingdom with the Antichrist for 1 hour. Or God has put it within their hearts to fulfill his will as to how long. And even though they come together with Antichrist, the Bible said they will hate the great whore, and they will burn her flesh with fire, which means that they will drop bombs, send missiles, blow it up in 1 hour. Rome will be blown all to bits. The Bible said in the great men of the earth and men by way of sea, they'll cast dust upon their heads and say, alas, alas, that great city that made all of the great men of the earth rich with her delicacies, that in 1 hour her desolation has come, and they will stand afar off looking at her torment. And the Bible said concerning her, rejoice, ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath revenged her. Revelation 11:15, it said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible said it has become now the time to give reward to the holy apostles and prophets and to all of them that fear thy name, both great and small. In 1 hour, Revelation 18:10, her desolation has come. The paper said in 1 hour, we can completely do away with Libya. So then you think now, the 10 toes, the 10 horns, the strength, all coming together. Every horn, horns represent powers and kings, coming together with the head. And when we say what head, remember Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold? Remember Babylon? Go back as far as Nimrod? He would say, Brother Pike, what does that have to do with it? John, in 96 A.D., exiled to the Isle of Patmos, right over there where they're at. Now remember, look on the map, the little Isle of Patmos. Hard to find, but you'll find it right over there in the Asiatic area, off the coast of Asia, right there around the Mediterranean Sea. John, being exiled, he saw all of these things. John spoke of all of these things. And right at this time, the book of Revelation being fulfilled now, right there in that area, think about it. The Bible speaks of Egypt. And there it is on the map, right there. It speaks of the king of Grecia. There it is, right there. When we speak of the bear, there it is, Russia, Libya, that's a branch of the tree, right there. All of these things right there. And you might say, well, Brother Pike, what does that have to do with? There's Libya, that's Russia. There's the feet of the beast, right at the sea where he's supposed to come up. The repercussion of the bombs and the bursting of the bombs of the sea, of destroying the ships. And the blast will kill the different things in the sea. It'll burst, the tremors and whatever will burst whale wide open, sharp. And the whole water will become a bloody, bloody place. From human lives and from the life of the species of the sea. Hail and brimstone rained down. The Star War. They believe that a lot of the things that happened to the Libyans, that is, the blowing up of their buildings, was not from the bombs that our allies dropped, but from their own shells exploding as our planes run to interference by the radar or the laser beam thing, turning them around, stopping them, and exploding, and them getting the repercussion of it. Raining down, fire and brimstone, hail, blood mingled together. But there in that area, you consider it, there comes the feet. Libya, Mr. Gaddafi, what would the feet do? Carry the whole thing. It's in position to carry the whole thing. And what would the others do? Join themselves to it. Look at the body of the beast. Daniel saw it. He saw the lion head. He saw the feet of the bear. And he saw the leopard body. The lion head, back to the gold. Back to Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Medo-Persians, as to the bear, the slothful one. And then Alexander the Great, as to the brass kingdom, or the leopard that was so swift, which denotes sports of the running and all of these things in sports, the leopard body. Do you know why the dignitaries were gathered together in the Ramada Inn as to the natural? For the Olympics. All of the reporters that's coming from around the world that this report is going to be over, call him Joe, has to do with Joseph. They're coming together for the Olympics. See, the old leopard body of sports and recreation, people all over the world, even the dignitaries, coming down for that reason. The bear, a communistic government of the people all over the world. Look how they're acting up. All over the world, they're acting up. They favor Mr. Gaddafi. To favor Mr. Gaddafi favors communism. Because that's who's behind Mr. Gaddafi. So that shows you the communistic strength of the bear carrying it. So, with that, we see communism coming in. We see, as the Bible said in Revelation 11, all of the nations were angry. Read the articles that my wife has. The nations, I mean everywhere, the nations are angry. Remember us telling you that? The nations are angry. I mean they're rising up everywhere. They're burning the embassies. They're killing. They're tearing down. They're saying death to Mr. Reagan's. The whole world is in a turmoil. The nations were angry. The Bible said, for the wrath of God has come, and time to judge the dead. That's what it had to do with going down into Mexico. The opening of the graves, the loosing of the prisoners. Calvary. So then the nations are angry. The great world empire has fallen. There has been one from the time of Nimrod or the head of gold, and then there's been another as to the Chaldean. There's been another as to Alexander the Great, and coming on down, there's been another as the Iron Kingdom came in. Another and another, even another, as the Roman powers took over in 325 A.D. As to Constantine, see, one kingdom, another kingdom. When America came in, it was a great empire. Even the vision that the Indians saw of Washington and the great empire come and spoke of it. So, now the empire's over. The monarch is finished. The thing that's coming now is the burning of the bush. Everything is there. The burning of the bush brought Moses. You remember what we said about the rod that was brought to Mr. Reagan's, that the man used that played the movie of Moses, the one that Brother Branham said that people should see? You remember he gave that rod to Mr. Reagan's. But anyway, the star wore these things, the ruling with the rod of iron, the prophet likened to, showed Mr. Reagan's to be, as we said, typical of Christ, the prophet likened to Moses, as to the ruling and caught up to the throne, being a movie star among the stars. Ruling with a rod of iron. And we said he would do it. You've seen that he's done it. He's ruled with a rod of iron, and all the nations are angry, and they're ready to dethrone him. Well, anyway, there is the feet of the bear. The nations are angry. The wrath of God has come. The time to judge the dead and to give reward has come. The opening up of the souls in prison as to say, here, these garments, just a little while longer. With the nations angry, the wrath of God having come, that means that these nations aren't going to quieten down anymore. We said quite a long while ago that they wouldn't stop. They can cry peace and be sudden destruction. This is the hour of it. Everything is falling into view. The 10 kingdoms coming together. Now consider it. There's the feet of the bear. Right here at the Mediterranean area where the beast is supposed to come up. We spoke of the vision we had. I hope you don't mind me taking this little time to talk with you. But we spoke of the vision where the serpent struck the bear. And we spoke not too long ago of America putting up the little sign, don't tread on us, and put the big serpent there. Once an eagle nation, as to the loftiness of God's great spirit. And then God gathered away those of the eagles, as it was with Brother Branham going out, speaking of that being the bride, and there wasn't nothing left but the serpent. Well, there came what we call the serpent message, or the message of the serpent seed. And God taking the church out, translating them into the kingdom of God, into the mind of Christ, in that in this vision we put our people on the mantle having to do with Elijah and the catching away, and Elisha having to do with the Jews coming in of the 12 yoke of oxen, as to the tribes. For as go Israel, so goes America. Mr. Reagan hit Gaddafi because of Israel. And the soldiers told us while we were over there that we hope that he will. So then the serpent striking the bear is really something. At this time we had spoke about Brother Lonnie Beach and what they had to do with it and how that Lonnie would pull out of Alaska. And while I'm talking about that of the bear, whereas Russia did own that, of having to do with that and the things that we spoke of concerning Alaska not too long ago and North Pole, King Jesus, Santa Claus, the Pope going up, Billy Graham. All of a sudden, out here this morning when we come back, here's Lonnie's truck sitting out there. He's going to come down from Alaska right after the birth of their little one. Sitting out there right here on our property, right next to the truck. Our truck is sitting this way with the open scroll, and his truck is sitting this way. Notice it's blue. A lot of things that we could say about it as to the meaning of it. But anyway, Brother Atlee and the family down yonder having to do with it. Brother Lonnie there. But getting back to the main theme of our thought, the serpent, the church is gone. The eagles are gone. If you'll check back in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the tribe that was over on one side of the tent and the tabernacle as to Dan had to do with two things. I spoke of Danville and what Danville had to do with and why that it had to do with Brother Carnes and had to do with us, why it had to do with Brother Cobb's, The snake.
See, that is to say the eagles are gone, and now America has become a snake nation. Instead of putting up the eagle, they put up a big snake and said, "Don't tread on us." And I saw in the vision as the shadows was falling, night coming, intellectual reasoning, gross darkness covering the people, intellectual powers and the diplomacy side of life taking over, forcing out everything that's godly and good, ecclesiastical laws to where we can't hardly breathe, attacking the church. See, the church is gone. It's sealed in. My people was on the mantle. And as the shadows moved, these two hunters came, as to the prophets. They were intending to kill the serpent. That's what they were going to do. They had weapons, and they were moving with the shadows, but they could not come until the shadows failed, because they were in the shadows, and they were moving with the shadows. And as you've seen the sun when it withdraws, or cloud move over, you watch the shadows that move. I watched the shadows that moved along the ground. These men had weapons to kill the serpent. The only thing is, they were confined to the shadows to the extent they were walking with the shadows. They couldn't get beyond the shadows as to get out where the light was or to get to the serpent. And they were trying to get to the serpent. Whereas the prophets, the two prophets of Moses and Elijah, that's right for them. Because they can't come out into this grace that we've got, into this light that we've got. The church has got to go. And then the darkness comes in as to the tribulation period. And they're confined to that period, and they're moving with that period. And Antichrist, he cannot do anything until the shadows comes, because he goes through the tribulation period. And of course, that bear didn't do anything until the shadows come. I believe, being a white bear, the Lord was letting me know not only what it had to do with us to Russia, but as long as there's blood on the seat of atonement, there's grace. And grace brings light, as it was with the sunlight, and it brings righteousness, as it was the bear being white, overshadowed with the grace of God. But anyway, as I said, the serpent struck before the hunters could get to him. The bear went crazy. And everything was just in danger. But my people was on the mantle. And them that have listened to me, them that have followed me, God has sealed them in. Some of you have not listened, you have not followed me. But sure enough, from Mr. Reagan striking the bear has gone crazy. People, communists, Mohammedans, all of them that's affiliated with the thing has just gone crazy. They're killing, they're on the rampage, they're burning, they're tearing down, they're bumming. They've just gone crazy. Because in the vision, the bear everywhere, he just went crazy. Nothing wasn't saved. And right now, nothing's saved. You're not even saved here this morning. We've had some of these people to come out of Atlanta down here. Some of these very people that we're talking about. Down on the border, they pulled a tight line watching for the Libyans to come into America. They were holding a tight line even when our people come across. See, there's nothing saved anymore. The tourists aren't saved anymore. So, to get on with my thoughts, I hope you don't mind me taking my time talking with you. Been gone for about 18 days of continual travel or whatever. And driving down there, it's rough. I told my wife just before we left, I said, "Betty, God hasn't released us. The children were pressing." He even got Betty upset. I said, "I'm going to go to the airport. But I'm telling you that God ain't released me. We're in trouble." And of course, we had a wreck. The brother driving went over. I said, "I don't feel to leave till tomorrow." And when we got over there, they didn't have a plane. This is kind of off of the theme of our thought just for a minute. They didn't have a plane. Said he wouldn't have one till tomorrow.
And as I said, we had a wreck. Now, I saw the wreck coming, but I knew God would take care of us. I saw the man when he pulled right straight out in front of us. And I knew we was going to hit and hit on my side. And as we hit this way, another plowed into the back of us and hit us this way. But God never suffered a one of us to get injured in any way. I guess if anything at all happened, Jeremiah got a little bit of soreness in here. I'm not sure that that even come from the joke. But anyway, not any of us was hurt. I said, Lord, you're not going to let us be hurt. But I said that to say this, we were continually traveling, just a little bit tired. And the wreck, the Lord took care of us on the way over. Grace said, I'm getting out of this place. I'm leaving. I said, if the Lord's will. And I reminded her about the little story of the embalmer. You remember? I said, I'm going home. I said, if the Lord's will. He said, I'm going home. When he almost got killed, he come and said, if it's the Lord's will. When Gracie got over there, she had done made reservations. They told her the plane was leaving. All she had to do is come get on it. She said, I'm going home. I said, well, you remember the embalmer. I said, you're going home if the Lord's will. If the Lord ain't willing, you won't go nowhere. I'm going home, she said. I'm getting out of this place. But when she got there, she found out she couldn't go home till God got ready. And the wreck come up, and it really shook Gracie up, though she was in the other car. And I believe that we took the lick that they would have got because they had pulled around in front of us. And then Brother Garcia had pulled back in front of them. Because if they had been in front of us, it probably would have killed some of them because there was children in that car. Even though there was children in the car that hit us, the Lord protected them. But there were children in the van, and not one of them in there that I know of was a Christian. Whereas in our car, all of us were Christians and had just finished praying. Just turned each other's hand loose. Oh, that is Brother Garcia and I when the crash came. But aside with that, and we'll go on with our thought here. I just thought I'd drop that in. Look at it now. There is the feet. How many got a few more minutes? Okay, kind of switched over, took your thought off of the theme of our course here. There is the bear. The nations are angry. The bear is upset. Everything is in a rage. Nobody's saved. The mantle is ready to go back to the Jews. The world empire of Mr. Reagan in the United States, Mr. Reagan brought it to an end. Caught up from down here, he said, I feel like I'm coming in and the world's going out, he said. Coming up, that one little candle, the birth of the man-child. Among the stars, up he went as a celebrity. Death, as to the ricochet of the bullet, shows that anybody in office at this particular time gets killed. He went through the death and then the resurrection. He died just like it showed. The ricochet, especially his age, 70, coming out of Babylon, in his 70s, all of a sudden he's caught up to the throne after the ricochet. And the whole world accepts him. And he had rule over the whole world. And then America, all of them just fell at his feet. He was the everything man, the movie star, everything. So then, going through the death, the burial, the resurrection. You remember when he got shot? How many remember when he got shot? And they said that he was shot with a certain kind of gun. And I said, no. I said, I saw vision. I said, in the vision, it was, and I called the caliber. I said, and that's what happened, and they're going to find it out. And they found out that it was, just like we said. They made a mistake. But anyway, here the world has gone crazy. I know it's getting a little cool in here. When it gets a little cool, people get uncomfortable and they don't listen too good. But it would be good if you just kind of get a hold of yourself and listen for a few minutes about this. Because this has to do with you, this thing we're talking about this morning. My people are sealed in. The bear's gone crazy. Everything's gone crazy. You remember the vision I had where I was walking along and then I was caught up over here in Russia. And I looked and all this heavy artillery was there and they tried to befriend me and act real friendly. But I knew that in spite of all that, though they were sincere, that this heavy artillery was sitting there and it was ready to be on the move at any time. So Mr. Reagan and I have the same sign as to birth. And right after I had the vision, Mr. Reagan went over there. And they talked to him real friendly and all these things. But see, here is Libya. Here is the bare feet. The body, Alexander the Great, the brass kingdom. There it is, Grecia. The king of Grecia, Greece. Right there where they're bumming. Right there where they're shooting. Look on the map, it's right there at the Mediterranean area. There is your body of the beast altogether. It came up out of that sea. Don't forget what Mr. Reagan is doing in that sea and what they're doing in that sea with their ships. When they tried to torpedo our ships, those were Russian torpedoes. See, it's all in that sea. It came up out of that sea. Now, that sea was only a symbol. John said the waters was people. And that when this beast came up, he came up out of that sea, or he came up out of the people. That is, the beast, the one that's going to be the beast, came up out of the waters, came up out of the people, came up out of that area. Are you following what I'm saying? With a little people. There's the body. All of them are little people. Every nation is little people in that area compared to Russia, the United States. The members, all of it out of little people. There's Grecia, the body, the leopard, the swift one. There's Russia, the slow, slothful one, moving slow, but vicious when they move. And here, just right across from Grecia, here is Rome. Here's Egypt, right over here, so the bonds child. On this trip, it was really strange. I wish we had time to really preach to you and talk to you. But at Houston, where it has to do with the stones and the crossing over and the Jordan, the moonstones, we met a Johnny Price that just come out of the Baptist church, he, his deacons, and all of his people, to the infilling of the Spirit. They were leaving for Israel. And strangely enough, it said the Christian life on their little buttons. They were real excited, painted up, all kind of form of dress, but they were like babes. They had at least come into something new. Going to Israel, to the valley of Petra, the crossing of the Jordan. We could elaborate on that. It would really be astounding. But as to the place, as to the people, as to the happening, and of course he's wanting to have fellowship with us. Really got us significant. Texas, Brother Branham's death, many other things. But going back to the theme of our thought, and I just dropped that in, maybe we can comment on it later. There is Egypt. There's the bonds child. There is the Muslims. All of them coming together now. All of them coming together. All those religious bonds children coming together. All of a sudden they're coming together. All of the lights going out. Nothing left but the revelation. The bright and the morning star of his coming. Mr. Reagan caught up a symbol. The snake has struck. The bear's gone wild. The 10 toes. The days of the 10 toes. Her desolation, 1810. 1 hour. Just to refresh your minds. All of these things happening. There is your feet. Libya, Russia. There is the sports, the Olympics, Grecia, all of your arts and sports out of Greece. A people that were very hostile when we were over there. Very hostile. And right across from Greece, here is Rome, the great Hawa, that sits upon many waters, that sits upon the 7 hills that the Bible speaks of. There is Rome, whose desolation comes in 1 hour. There is Rome, the iron kingdom, that tries to mix with the clay. There is Rome, the mouth, the religious mouth all over the world. The religious mouth.
the lion mouth of the beast. And this mouth, John said, was fastened to seven heads. In John 96 A.D., looking back shortly after Calvary, he said, and this beast that come up out of the waters had seven heads, which indicates a union. It indicates a union. Not just one head, as to Mr. Gaddafi, but a leadership of a union. And he said, and these seven heads, five of them are fallen. Five of them are fallen. 96 A.D., he said, five of them are fallen. That is, John said, I'm here at 96 A.D., from 33 A.D. of the crucifixion over to 96 A.D. is just a few years. Here I am. The heavens is rolled back like a scroll. The end is here. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus, he said, which is Calvary unveiling, or the veil rent from Calvary, in that Jesus made in himself twain, and the flesh as to the law and the people, Adam's seed of the serpent and the tree of knowledge going this way, and the tree of life as to the eagle nation, as to the lofty, chosen out of this world to be hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens had received from Calvary, the time of the bar mitzvah, the child coming into power. So then, five are fallen, John said, from Nimrod, from Nebuchadnezzar, these other empires. He said, five of these kings that are historical now, they were the powers of the head of the beast. We say beast, why not? The Bible said all that are not sons of God are beasts. Some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. If those people were not sons of God, they were beasts. All that are not children of God today are nothing but mere beasts. The Bible said, and the soul of the beast goes down. That is to say, if you're damned, your soul goes to hell. And why not? Beast. Why not call them beast? Or why not look on them as beast? When the Lord showed these kings and powers to Daniel, he showed them in the form of beast, because that's what they are. That's why they kill. That's why they rob. That's why they steal. That's why they curse us. That's why they're ecclesiastical. So then he said, five of these heads are already fallen. He said, five are fallen. One is, and one is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. So then five of them are gone, John said. And while I am now writing this in 96 A.D., one of these heads are in power. One of these great kings are in power. Going back to Nero and the different ones that was in power in that day. Said one of them is in power. John said, now this makes six. Whereas you and I can look back on John's day, it's gone now. We don't have to say five is fallen. We say six is fallen. He said, and one will come and continue a short spell, which meant the seventh one was to come after John's day. Whereas we would have been in the day of that power. Six have fallen, and the seventh was in power. And then he spoke beyond the seventh one. He said, and there will be another that will be the eighth. And said, he is of the seven, which means that he's going to come up out of the kingdom of these seven historical powers, because they will have passed. And he will come up. And when he comes up, he will be the eighth, putting all seven together. He will be all seven together, making the eighth. For he will be Satan. And he will be the same Satan that was in the first head, the second head, the third head, under the seventh head. And when he comes up, he will put them all together, making one great head, as to be the eighth. For he is of the seventh. The rule that was from the beginning of those empires and kingdoms. So then we see that in this hour, the seventh one going out. And we see now of coming together in this union as to the thing of Mr. Gaddafi, the little nations that the Roman Empire one time ruled over. Remember, the bodily part, brass. But here is the union of the nations. Now remember, the United States has always been a union of nations. For many years, that is. But those nations haven't confederated since the time of being under the Confederation of Rome. The reason is because as the death of Jesus, so the membership was dissolved. Jesus comes, the membership comes together. Christ shows the church. It's the same way with Rome, which is a type. Rome killed out, her members went every way. The 10 nations went every way. Or that is, the nations that was under her control. Trying to just kind of end my thoughts here, because there's a number of other things I needed to say it, or God needed to say it to you. But seeing that we can't do that, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spiritual, but seeing that you're carnal. Carnal reasoning, all these things, though at this point he says you ought to be teachers, yet you have need that you be taught, which is the beginning of the principles and oracles of God, whereas you should go unto perfection, to be therefore perfect as the Father, to have a full reward, yet you won't do it. No praying, no fasting, no seeking the Lord, no effort, no surrender, no sacrifice to give or help, no concern about the poor, the needy, hunger, whatever. That's why you don't have your healing. That's why you don't have the blessings of God. But you can see it. I'll just refresh your memory as to my own here, as to the Lord, what he's impressed me with, until he does start speaking long enough to finish up, which, as far as I can tell, he's not going to do that. The Mediterranean area, you can see it. It's been put together. In the Bible, you see it. I spoke of the five that have fallen. In our day, six are fallen. By now, the seventh one going out. So the eighth one coming in, Antichrist. He's coming in. And there the ten toes are shown. The confederation, the great preeminent thing of our day is government. And now it's going to be communist government. And then the next great thing, preeminent, is sports, the Olympics. Even the interpreter, as I was riding down the road, he had his radio on listening to some Spanish talk. And I said, brother, I said, isn't that the ball game? And it tore him up, because he didn't think I know the thing about what was being said. And for a few minutes, he wouldn't even answer me. He was so embarrassed. And then he finally said, well, I'm trying to get the news. And it just goes to show the strength of sports, the power of the devil working through ball games, and the people that are given to it, the ones that are controlled by it. It's that body of the beast. People that do that are beasts. They're not Christians. They are beasts. They're not flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone never done that when it walked this earth. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It'll never do that. It'll never listen at the things of the world and watch the things of the world on TV and do those things. That's the carnal mind. That's the hunger from Lucifer that savors the things that be of the world and of the flesh. So then, five are fallen, John said. Now we've come to that great moment, the confederation, the ten toes, the hour. See, the union of headship. Those nations aren't going to give up their kingdom. They're not going to do it. Ten horns. Those seven heads will be one head to the extent that it was Lucifer all down through the years, a union of headship, which means that as it was with Nebuchadnezzar, the old Babylon kingdom, as it was with the Chaldean kingdom of the bear, the Nebuchadnezzar kingdom of the lion, and as it was with the kingdom of Alexander the Great, which was the leopard, and we could say a lot of things there about four wings, the generals, and whatever, as to why it has to do with the area that's over yonder.
But I'm just going to say this, as to the four wings that came out having to do with the generals according to history of Alexander the Great and going into different directions of the world, one of them, as to the little horn that Daniel spoke of, went in that direction where Gaddafi's at, back through there to the areas of Syria. And then the Bible speaks of Pergamos being the seat of Satan, as to the chief priest according to history, leaving there the Chaldean kingdom, going over, we have these things on tape, going over to Pergamos. History says out of there comes the Etruscans, which brought the religion of the old Babylonian kingdom down to Rome. Then it became the world empire as to that religion. And the rights of the priesthood bequeathed over from the priest of the Chaldean kingdom over to powers like Nero. Anyway, we see that out of that area is where the Antichrist came up according to Daniel's writings. You can read it and see. Come up round in the Holy Land, near the Holy Land. And all of a sudden, this image, brass, silver, gold, all of a sudden this image comes into view. And as history tells us, the difference between the Western Church, the Eastern Church as to the Eastern Orthodox, and the Western Papal as to the split up of the kingdom after Alexander the Great. Even Paul, if you'll read, you'll find out that Paul speaks of the church at Babylon. Out of this, and Paul brings nine churches, out of which seven is the church ages, as we say. And out of this comes the two legs of the iron and the clay, down to the feet, the toes. Even though it's a split between the Jewish powers and the American powers, as we would say now, because it has extended this far. America being Catholic, Protestant daughters, proving it. The church brought out of that, and the old religious trend right on down, step by step from Babylon, same old religious garbs and garments. See, though it's split up, yet it's still a world power, because though it is split up, yet the same body, this part, the same body down to the brass kingdom, still is upon the stilts of those legs. Which means though the legs are split up, the kingdoms are split up, and it seems to be a difference. There is no difference. If you start with the toes, come on up to the body, you'll find they're joined to the body. It's still one body. It only split up as to the support, as to five of those kings from one direction and five as to another. To go back to what we said about the ten toes and things that we can't comment on, we don't have time to do it. If we could fill in the puzzle with a few details, it would make it real clear. But as to that, it's still one image. It's one kingdom, and numbers of you have already lost interest. So then, we're living in the final hour. If all of these things are transpiring, and many things I'd like to say to you, but the serpent that's on his belly has done caused a problem. I love to say it so that you can understand it, because the problem is his belly. He wants to get out of here so he can go eat. That's why I tell you a lot of times, before I get to this point of reproof, I say to the serpent, won't you just ease on out, get on out of here. You know, leave God's people alone. Get on out and leave them alone. You know, go feed your belly. Leave them alone. You know, they said, Jesus, you need to go eat. You know, it's belly time. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I'm not on my belly, he said. I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, that suffices me. That fills me up. So, sounds like a little crude. Paul said, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. So here we are at this moment of crisis. If these things be this close, and the church has to be translated before them, then how close is the translation of the church? Someone said, well, how close do you think it is, Brother Pye? It is so close that I've already put my people on the mound. And the bear is in the rage and the serpent is striking. Mr. Reagan is the aggressor, no matter how you look at it. Somebody said, well, something needs to be done. I agree with you. Mr. Gaddafi, something needs to be done. And God prepared Mr. Reagan's heart to do it before he was there. Before he was ever born in the world, God put it in his foreknowledge. And his heart was by foreknowledge prepared to do it. He couldn't do anything except come to the throne, as we say, and do what he done. Because the nations are angry. The time of the wrath of God has come. The preparation of man's heart is from God. Mr. Gaddafi could do nothing but what God prepared his heart to do. Because God creates the good and the evil, has his way in both. Works all things after the counsel of his own will. It's the end. Here a while back when it said, we bound Satan, we cast him out. He didn't think much about it. But the Bible said when he was cast out, the man child caught up to the throne, that he come up out of the waters. Because he knew he had but a short time. Mr. Gaddafi knows that the way he's going, if the nation's closing on him, there's but a short time. And especially if he messes with the Queen of England, which he's doing. If anybody can bring his desolation in 1 hour, she'll do it. You remember when we spoke about the judgments coming on Argentina because of their hostility? The Queen come over and within just a few hours, she had done blowed their ships up and tore that place up and took over. And Mr. Gaddafi is pushing at her now. And she's the kind of person that she favors America. And she's the kind of person that you just don't push at. She's a woman. But you just don't push at her people. She's very peaceful. Kept her country in peace all these years. And she favors America and you just don't push at her. You just get her upset. And woman-like, she just... I wish she goes all to pieces of what she does, but she starts bumming. And Mr. Gaddafi is making the wrong move, messing around there. But anyway, if we're that close, two nations, Mr. Reagan, you don't mess with Mr. Reagan, he'll blow you up. You don't mess with the Queen, she'll blow you up. And both of them allies together, and a few of the other nations that will blow you up. You don't mess with Israel, they'll blow you up. And these nations, just fragile to that extent. You know, that means that the translation is close. Because the Bible said, if I don't shorten the days for the elect's sake, they'd blow all the people up. There wouldn't be no flesh left. They'd destroy everything. Or that is, I'll shorten the days for the elect's sake, lest there be no flesh spared. So he has to shorten the days because we didn't come to that time of desolation in 1 hour. We've done come to that time where they can start releasing bombs from either side and there won't be nobody left alive. The ones that doesn't get blown up, there'll be such a contamination of the elements as to the pouring out of the plagues of the book of Revelation where it speaks of these things. Revelation 15 tells us these things comes into view. There'll be such a contamination and filtration of the air, nobody could live. They'd die. Just from the plagues poured out in the air. Wish we had time to comment on it. But anyway, I'm just saying this. You see the beast forming now. You see him coming together. There's his feet. There's old Egypt. When I say old Egypt, I'm talking about of the Old Testament. Old Egypt coming back into view. There's Babylon. Old Babylon coming back into view. There's the union. There's the heads. S to the eighth of the seven. Unionizing. There's the mouth, there's the feet, there's the body. Religion, sports, government, all having the preeminence. Every one of them is going to confederate. And there ain't but one religion that can confederate with a bunch of murderers. And that's the Roman religion of the powers of Catholicism. That's the only thing in the world in the way of a religion that can do that and protect it. And the little offshoots, it's like the Muslims, the Arabs, and the different ones of Khomeini and whatever. All of them coming together
Those people can kill you. The Bible said, and think that they are doing God a service. Those religions can confederate and massacre thousands of people and still feel that they're doing God a service. You don't realize it, folks, but up here I pick up your thoughts. When you've got to get to a job, I can hear that. I got to make money. I got to get to my job. I got to take care of my business. See, honey, you look after it. Or, sweetie, you watch after it. You know, we understand. And I can hear your thoughts when they're talking. You know, one says, I'm cold. Not really cold, just a bunch of foolishness. You know, run around the cold everywhere else. But the devil says, you're uncomfortable. That's all it is a little discomfort. And another says, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. It's been here a long time. And I hear all that conglomeration of a mess coming from you. It's a stench from the garbage can coming from you. You've become a garbage can, and it's a stench from the garbage can. Wells without water. The Bible said stars without light. And all of this, the powers of the enemy, spots and blemishes in the mist of your feast while we're feasting on these words of charity. Garbage cans with a stench. See, and every time the top comes off, the whole building's filled with it. While as yet there's precious souls of sons and daughters that are not rotten on the inside, that have a sweet-smelling savor of Christ, an aroma of heaven, that are trying their best to be interested not in the things of the flesh and the things of the world and the belly, but interested in world evangelism and world help and world security and trying to help people and bring safety to the little children like was blown up over yonder in Libya. You can say amen to that, but I can't say amen to it. You say, Brother Pike, but this is America. That's your president. Aren't you proud of him? I appreciate Mr. Reagan. I think he's one of the greatest men in the world. And he couldn't have done nothing else. God prepared it all that way. But I'll never put my approval on wars. The Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Isn't it out of your lust? Isn't it out of the garbage can? The lust that war in your members? That you want, you can't have because you won't ask God. When you do ask, you ask to consume it on your own lust. I can't put my approval on wars. God wasn't in blowing that place up over there, causing all that confusion and whatever, only in the sense that he has his way in the evil. God's not in the other as these people rising up. That's foolishness. Mr. Gaddafi needed to be dealt with. If they're going to look at it as war to war, then somebody needed to have done something about it. He blowed up children. Mr. Reagan not blowing up children didn't save the children. Mr. Gaddafi was making it a practice to blow up children. And God brought it to his own home and he reaped it. Which to me is very sorrowful that the little ones should be paid for his foolishness. And the thing of Mr. Reagan's, it's also a personal thing between him and Mr. Gaddafi. As well as a national and international thing. So I'm not in favor of the bombing. I'm not in favor of the war. I'm not in favor of the rioting, saying down with Mr. Reagan's. I'm in favor of peace and getting the gospel into all the world for a witness and doing what we can before they blow all the people up, because the Bible said if we don't do something, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. All of them will be blown to pieces. What happened to Mr. Gaddafi will happen to you and I if God doesn't undertake. And the Bible said don't back off and say that these were the meanest people in the world. Upon which the Tower of Siloam failed. He said, don't say these were the most wicked. He said, I say unto you, lest you repent, it'll happen to you the same way, all of you. So then, just preaching a little along, and maybe more, if you get a little hard in the Spirit, we can get a little stronger. If you harden your heart, it moves God to be a little stronger. It's kind of like Gaddafi and Mr. Reagan. It's the harder Mr. Gaddafi gets, the more Mr. Reagan is moved to plow his fields. And the more Satan gets a hold of you and you allow it, the more God plows your fields. And he uses the preacher for the plow. So, in doing that, he runs the serpent out. I said it a lot of times, as a boy in the country, to run the devil out, you know, as we say. The serpent out when I busted the clods. He was hit on the clods.
He's hid under some of your clods. And the only way to get him out is to plow your field. Well, anyway, you can see it. I'm going to close in a few minutes. As I said, I didn't think the Lord was going to finish those things. I can just about tell when you've grieved him and when he'll back off. But to you that love the Lord, you take these things that we've said, put them together, and pray. And the Lord will enlighten you and move you into these things. And as I can from time to time in little broken intervals, I'll bring out a little bit here and a little bit there, and you can add it to your collection, heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. You can put it in your hope chest, and it'll fit with the puzzle, and you'll finally get the puzzle together. All these others that are blind and hungry and on their bellies, and just a garbage can for the devil, God will move it out. After a while, the garbage man will be by. He'll load all of it on the truck. You remember what I said about California that early morning before daylight? The Lord got me up and said, look and learn, son. And the garbage man come before daylight there. Never seen him do that before. He spoke to me, said, all of the broken, all of the rejected, all of the no good. Said, they're gathering it. Demons are picking it up now. Said, they're taking it down to the dump to burn it, cast it into the fire. Talked to me, I remember. My heart was so thrilled, a real young evangelist. And God speaking to my heart because I was hungry, thirsty. Had been down the basement crying and slobbering like a dog, asking God to show me, asking God to speak to me. He that hungers and thirsts, the Bible said he'll be filled. So then seeing these things, we brought it far enough that you can see the crisis and you can see how imperative it is to your life and salvation to do something. Long about this time when we get ready to dismiss, everybody will get pious. Even the garbage cans will put the lid back on and stop the stink. And the devils and demons will back off because they don't want to go away cursed. They don't want that body to be cursed. If that body's cursed, and we have the power to do that, to bless it or curse it. Like the dignitaries down yonder, they wanted my blessing. In India, they say, Father, bless us, Father. Whoever we bless is blessed. Whoever we curse is cursed. If we bind the sins, they're bound. If we remit, they're remitted. See, and they say, have you come to torment us before our time? It ain't time yet. We've got more time to eat, to be on our bellies, to do our thing. And they don't want to go away cursed, so they humble themselves. The Bible said Satan humbles himself. He knows you're not going to talk anymore. You're not going to preach anymore. You're not going to be trying to cast him out anymore. You're not going to say the word of God that torments him anymore. So you know that he hath but a short time. So he humbles himself to get that body out of here and to care of the blessings so that nothing won't happen to him. The wicked shortening their days by their disobedience. He knows if that body dies or something happens to it, he'll go back into the dry places seeking rest and can't find it. Just as quick as God stops talking, he's happy. He wants the blessing of the minister. Well, let me tell you something. You're rotten under the clod. And I'd get to preaching if I didn't watch out here. The prophet said, and the seed has rotten under the clod. The seed has been sown, but with many of you, it has rotten under the clod. And God will plow your fields, and he'll set fire to the bushes. Mr. Bush is about to come in. Oh, he's standing in a good place. Which, going back to Bush, goes back to Israel, because the bush that burned, it didn't burn up, was Israel. Having the wrath of God poured out on them. God a consuming fire. So then, many of you are rotten in the clod, and you don't have any hope. You're evil and wretched. You talk evil. You think evil. The meditation of your heart is continually evil, the Bible said. And God will burn you with fire. But to you that love the Lord, and you that are interested in Christ, you that are making a special effort to be holy and godly and pure in your thoughts, that's not interested in eating and drinking and fellowshipping, but you're interested in sacrificing and giving, fasting, praying, helping somebody, reaching out, fellowshipping to the extent that you want to come together to listen to the Word of God and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus.
that has some kind of control over your flesh, to where your flesh and mind don't drive you crazy trying to get you out of the sanctuary or drive the preacher crazy while he tries to get around your devilish spirit, while he's trying to speak to the Holy Spirit and the people that have the Holy Spirit as to feed the little ones. You that don't have that old devilish spirit that wars against the Holy Spirit, you'll get something from God. You'll hunger and thirst. God's going to fill you up. You might be a babe, but you're going with the parents when the translation takes place, because you're trying to learn. You're trying to listen. You're trying to do your best. You're trying to honor the parents, to turn the hearts of the children back to the parents, lest God come smite the earth with a curse. So then these things are spoken to you as quietly and as gentle as I know how, for your edification, so that you can have the blessings of God and so that God can help you. But folks, beware. The time is upon you. The time is at hand. Bible said, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Don't let him run like Esau and cry, give me, give me, when he spit on everything that God had, vomit on God's table, done evil and wretched, caused trouble, been a troublemaker, done everything contrary to righteousness, dressed wrong, acted wrong, run around with long hair like a hippie, run around in zoot suits, doing the things of the world, acting like the world, won't listen to nobody, won't listen to the Word of God, won't conform to the Word of God when it comes to a pure heart, being clean. Don't let him run up at the last minute. The Bible said he's filthy, let him remain filthy. But said he that is just, he that has done his best and yet stumble, God has justified him by the faith of Jesus and the finished works of the Lord Jesus. Said let him remain just. He'll always be just. Just unto eternal life. He that wants to listen to the Word of God, don't let him be troubled when he leaves the sanctuary. And he that wants to get real pious right at the end, to act like he hasn't caused the minister trouble and caused the spirit trouble, don't let him have any peace. The Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. David said, make their table a snare to them, put them on their belly, which God did. Don't let them have any peace. When they act so unpeaceful in the church and so restless in the church and so contrary to the Holy Spirit, not to give a chance to God to speak to his people, let them be just as restless when they get out of the church. Let them be restless in their minds and in their bodies and with torch and torment of problems and heartaches and sorrows. And while they go to make a dollar and they're trying to get prestige and they're trying to do the things of the world, let them be there where they can't hardly work. Let them be so troubled and restless that they can't hardly work because of the pain and the misery when they go to get the dollar to feed the belly. You know, if it wasn't for the little children and the families that have to be fed from their labor, God would make them so restless that day and night they'd never find any peace. I want you to stand with me. As I said, I know we're not going to get to finish what I want to finish. Most of the time we don't. Very rare. Few messages we got where we went on through. But at least I struggle and wrestle to bring it to a point to where you can know what I was trying to say. That way it helps that much. It's good to have you here. Good to have the relative here with us. The relative of Sister Faye. Also, I see Raymond back here, he and his wife, and his little ones. I trust that they're already moved down. I don't know whether they are or not. Are you moved down yet, Raymond? That's great. I'm glad to know that he's moved down here with us. And we're certainly glad to have every one of you in service. A lot of people missing. It's about 30-something people on that bus, or there was. And quite a number of people missing that's not here this morning. But I thank God for you that are here. And I appreciate every one of you. I believe Brother Dennis's wife's back there. We're certainly glad to have her this morning. Her and the daughters come pretty regular. And I noticed somebody else, Chris and Doyle, we're grateful for them to be here.
thought I saw somebody else. Sometimes I overlook different ones. Try not to, but I do. But we're thankful for you to be here. We're very grateful. Appreciate every one of you being here. I hope the few scattered things that I've spoke of this morning, not being able to detail them, I hope that they'll be beneficial to you. One thing for sure, you that cannot see, you that are blind, you that don't know, when it comes to spiritual things, all you can hear is my natural words. It's for sure that you're going back to your program. And why not? Why should God let you know the other side? Why should He let you know? After all, you can't go anyway. You're predestinated unto that destruction because He foresaw the hardness of your heart and the contrary desires of wrong things. And like Esau, you've lost your birthright. Why should He let you know all those things? Just to trouble you. He just lets you hear a little preaching so that you should know that you should repent and that you should know that there is such a thing. And then after that, He just lets the mud come right back and you don't even think about it. You're not troubled. You can just eat, drink, and have a good time and enjoy your side of life and have the biggest kind of time. But to you that understand, you know, take heed, folks, because the hour is upon you. It's nigh even at the door. And the Bible said, exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. You talk to someone. You get with somebody. Quit talking about relatives and friends and money and things and jobs and business. Get out of that rut before God kills you with death. He said, I'll burn her children with fire. And get your mind on God. And you talk to one another. You exhort each other the more because the day is upon you. You keep telling each other, say, hey, did you hear what Brother Pike said? Have you read the papers lately? Do you know what's going on? You know, and keep talking with each other to help keep people in step. Keep people in tune. Like Brother Branham said in that great parade of those last ones that come back down through there, he said he saw them out of step. The church is out of step with Christ. You think it over. Think about it. And I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to exhort my family. I'm trying to exhort my wife. I run into some problems. I run into some fire. But I'm still trying. Still trying. And I'm trying to exhort you, my spiritual children. You that are my spiritual children and you that are not my spiritual children. I'm telling you. I'm telling you because the Bible said the gospel to every creature. I'm telling you, if you've got the love of the world, the love of God's not there. And I am going to close in just a few minutes. If it's in your heart for ball games and television and all of the things of magazines and newspapers and eating and drinking and the frolics of the world and laughter and all these kind of things, it means that you've never been born again. You do not have the love of God in there. Because the love of God does not love the world. It loves the things of God. It loves self-sacrifice. It loves carrying this body to Calvary for the sake of people. It loves to be a servant unto its fellow man. It loves to look on things of others as better than the things of itself. It loves to seek the welfare of others. It loves world evangelism and giving, praying and fasting, and doing the wonderful things of fellowship and of exhorting that the Bible speaks of. Many, many things happen on this trip. Lots and lots of revelation took place of things that I know that we'll never be able to tell you or share with you. I know that. Many multiplied things. But these few things that I try to share with you, and these things concerning present day truth as to revelation, as to world event or changes, you really need to give heed to them. The Bible said, give the most earnest heed or the more earnest heed. Said, lest at any time you forget them or you let them slip. What the preacher said to you, don't forget it about all of the things of the world and the things of God and your calling and what you ought to be doing. See, give the more earnest heed to it. And the Bible said, when He's speaking or God speaking, take heed. Take heed how that you hear what He says so that you don't misconstrue it or misunderstand it.
Be sure that you don't. Take heed to it. Take heed to it. Don't be restless and shiftless and can't sit still in a service and don't have enough man or womanhood about you to make yourself to be reverent and pay attention. Don't be foolish. Don't get your mind so envired in the things of the world and the things of the flesh that the only time you can rest and be still is when you're eating and drinking, talking, riding, or doing something in the world. Don't be foolish. The Bible said, learn to be still and know that I'm God. And said, be reverent and come in with thanksgiving and come in with praise. And come in and learn to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of foods. And take heed. Study to be quiet, to be still and know that I'm God. We're grateful to be able to share a few of the things that God has given us. There's not too many times that a real man of God ever comes to the sacred dais, without being grieved or leave without being grieved. And whereas the Bible said that's not profitable for you that grieving, you that are carnal, you that reason in your mind, you that do these things with a regularity, though he begs you not to do it, and God begs you not to do it. You shorten your days by your disobedience. You bring trouble and heartaches to your home. And the Bible said it's not profitable for you to have that kind of spirit and attitude because you just go through one trouble and another trouble, one problem and another problem, shortening your days all the time. It's not profitable for you. Because he cannot put his blessings upon you. But the Bible said, they that hear the prophets of the Lord, believe them, they shall prosper. Whatever they do shall prosper. And God will bring them blessings in their finance. Will bring them blessings of health, happiness, and peace. And that's the desire of the man of God to bless you if he's a real man of God. It's not his desire to find fault with you nor to curse you. But it's not possible for him to bless that which God has cursed. He can't do that. And if he's a man of God, he surely won't try to curse that God's blessed. He won't be so foolish as Balaam, who was the soothsayer. So, it makes it grievous, because he doesn't want to see anybody, go out and have problems. But there's nothing else he can do. So then he leaves. He's grieved. He's grieved when he comes. He's grieved while he's there. He's grieved a lot of times because he can't finish saying to the children what God wants them to know in the way of instruction. Makes it real bad. But all I can say is, may God have mercy on you. I can only do what he tells me to do. And he gives us all a chance. Esau didn't have to lose his birthright. While you've got your heads bowed, coming down to the close of the service, I think I'll ask Chris to come up, if he will, and close the services. I want to say again, we appreciate having Dawn. Chris, it's really something. They run a pattern having to do with Jesus and the Christ. And this morning, with what this service has to do with, the revelation of the Lord is so beautiful. And then calling on Chris, him being up from the boats and what they have to do with. Today has to do with that great resurrection. People, when their shepherd is gone, some of them are downcast. And they revive when their shepherd comes back. Little children, when parents leave, are downcast. And when the parents come back, they're revived. And today, having to do with a great resurrectional thing, just being back, Betty and I, there's a great turn of event. Great turn of event. Your truck is sitting out there empty. I know many of you question it. When I said I was going to take those into Mexico, I know where your thoughts went. I know you didn't believe it. I know you questioned it.
And the one reason I took the bus with the people was because it had been questioned. I said I was going to take them in. And I didn't feel to do it because I felt the problems. I even told the Lord I wasn't going to do it. But I couldn't do that because I said I was going to take them down at a time when we could have took them down. But I went ahead and took them on down and prayed till I took them into Mexico. I got them down to Houston. It would have fulfilled what I saw. And I told them they could turn around and come back at Houston. But from there, they would not. They wanted to come in. So they did. And though I saw problems, and problems arose, yet I can't be blamed for what people have in their heart. I can't be blamed for what you do when you've got something in your heart. I told you the right thing. I've made the right environment. I've watched after you. But if a thing is rotten in its heart, it's going to show up. It's going to show through. Whether you're in Mexico or wherever you're at, that I can't help. It's happened in Mexico. It's happened in Israel. It's happened in the different parts of the world with the people that I've taken. It's happened right here on the campground. So those things I can't help. I've done my best. And the ones that listened, the ones that honored me, are still upright, clean. The ones that didn't, they were defiled before they went because they were defiled in their heart and wretched. Had their old whorish spirits and the old gullible, evil things, and they were rotten under the clod to start with. And when they get in a place of frolic, it all shows up. But you that follow me, that watch the revelation, it's something that Chris should come up here this morning. And you that are walking with me, you that love the Lord, you that want righteousness and cleanliness and holiness, you that have dedicated your life to God and took the world out of your heart, may God bless you because you're my children, you hear my voice. Wherever I go, you follow me, you're with me. Though many of you thought that we would not do what we did in taking those things down, you saw that we did, as always, the thing that we told you we would do. I had to hold back a lot of complications, a lot of interference. Satan done everything he could to stop it. But about 13,000 garments, along with the mattresses and 150,000 pieces of literature, is down there, along with a number of other things. Boxes of candy, great big boxes of candy for the children that they'll give out. I wanted my people to give them out, but they didn't pray enough, they didn't fast enough, they didn't seek God enough to ward off the devil on the trip down. And it was just one problem right after another. Satan held things up to where they didn't get to do it. We didn't get any films. Got films of unloading, films of different things concerning the trip, but didn't get any films of giving out the clothing. We had to leave them under the leadership of Brother Garcia and Brother Cayetana. So they promised us that if we would send papers of permission, that they would distribute those things. Think it over, folks. You that labored during the night, your labor was not wasted. Brother Steve and others worked 150,000 pieces of literature there, and much of it gone into different places. Should have been a lot more of it gone. The radio messages to Brother Bill and Chuck's labor, still reaching out into the islands and around the United States. Letters coming out of all parts of the world. The gospel is going. Pure and undefiled religion going to feed the hungry. A light for Jesus. And yet we're doing so little compared to what we could have done, should have done. But you that are helping me in whatever way you're helping me, you are part of this body, part of this ministry, part of this leadership that's in the earth today. And the whole world is beginning to look in your direction, even the upper echelon, the people of the upper places of life. They're beginning to look at you. May God bless you, lead you. May God help you. And may He help you to see in a way that you can evaluate properly and know that this is the greater side of life and all of the other. Though God has given it to you to help you because He knows you're pressed with necessity, yet it's the lesser side of life. While you're standing with your heads bowed, Chris is coming.